Performance is a destroyer. Over-animated, fake, put on. They all will cost you, and that is in no way what we're chasing. We're chasing true authenticity. But far too often, we pull back too small, non-existent, invisible. They don't know who we are. They don't hear us. They don't feel us. They don't identify. We have to find that biggest, boldest, best version of you, because that is what people are seeking. That is what will make people give you more of what you want faster. That's what I'm talking about today with Helen. I think you're going to like this episode, and I don't want you to miss a minute.
Welcome to Captivate the Room with your host, internationally known voice expert, Tracy Goodwin, an award-winning speaker who has taught hundreds around the globe to make a big impact with their voice. This podcast is for anyone who wants to step onto a bigger stage, make a bigger impact, and have a voice that makes people listen. Presentation matters, and the voice is the missing link. Join in and you'll see why.
Welcome to the podcast. So happy to have you with me today, as always. And I've got a great episode for you today. Today, I've got another episode where I am assessing a stranger's voice on air and will be instantly giving them my thoughts around how they're being processed in the subconscious of the listener, why that isn't working for them, and in some cases, a few things that they can do to shift this. Now, remember, that's my superpower. How are you being processed in the subconscious of the listener? This work is way bigger than a tactic, than a technique. This is the work that requires a lot of unraveling, a lot of unearthing, a lot of unmasking. But when you do this work, everything changes. This is a snapshot of that work. Just like I tell the people that come on the show, and I've never met these people, I let them know right away, this is a snapshot. This is a moment in time, a moment of shifting things that are not working for you, but you have an entire lifetime of voice habits that have been built. But with that said, I know there is tremendous value for the people that come on the show and do this, and for you as the listener, to really get a feel for how people are being processed. I know this helps you in many, many ways. This is not a one and done. This is not a silver bullet, but this is a glimpse of the work that will change your life. Let's head on over to the show. Helen, welcome. I'm so glad to have you today.
Hi, it's so great to be here.
Now, I have to tell you something. I have to tell the listeners something. I actually know Helen, and I always start the show with, I've never met this person. I've talked to him for 5 minutes, but I know Helen, and I've known her for a while, but this is what I want to say. And this actually came up in a conversation with somebody I was interviewing yesterday. I don't walk around in the world tapped in to my ability to hear the layers of sound. And in fact, the girl that I was talking to, she was really nervous about judgment. And so I think she was prepared for me to be in this place of judgment. And this is how the conversation came up. I said, okay, first of all, what's really weird is that I don't function in the world like I function when I'm assessing sounds. Mm-hmm. I can hear a sound in the world that makes me go, oh, that's that I don't like. But I'm not in assessment mode. But then when I'm with my people, I don't hear anything as bad. And she said, mm-hmm. How is that? And I said, I think it's because I'm hearing that North Star, that seventh layer. And so I'm so focused on getting to that often, that all those layers that aren't coming through, that I just don't hear anything as bad. Mm-hmm. So I set this up to say, I've never, even in working with Helen, she built my quiz. If you've taken my quiz, she did an amazing job. I worked with her quite a bit on that. But I was never working with her from the perspective of, ooh, you know what I hear? I just can't work that way. It's like even when I'm on shows, I'm not listening to the person and they will invariably go, what do you hear in my voice?
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, hold on a minute. I have to shift gears because I'm not listening to you like that. But today is different. Today I'm listening.
It's funny, isn't it? It's the same with doctors and psychiatrists and so on. They have this skill and they see so many people in the world, but they're probably only when they're in like their doctoring room or their listening room do they actually like tap into it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right. And, you know, I've had friends over the years that are attorneys and all of them have said, don't ask me legal questions. Mm-hmm. You don't ask me legal questions. And I kind of get it now because I'll go to a Christmas party and I become the party game. Yeah. What do you hear in my voice? What do you hear in my voice? And it's like, I don't want to tell you what I hear in your voice right now. You know,
you should just make up a new job.
Right.
Don't tell them what you do.
And I would imagine that's really true for doctors. You know, it's like, well, listen, can I ask you just a quick question? I mean, I'm sure that's their worst nightmare.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Absolutely. But today I'm listening. And so I'm going to, even though I know what you do, I always start the same way. I start with, tell us about yourself. Tell us about your work. The point of all of it is to get you talking so I can start assessing. So let's just start with that. Helen, give us some background on who you are and what you do.
Yeah, bit of blurb. Okay, so I'm Helen. I'm from the UK, as you can probably tell from the accent. I am a quiz funnel strategist, which is an unusual one. Quite a few people haven't heard of it. But my main role is to support online business owners who are just, you know, just so incredible at what they do, but lack views. They lack people buying their products. It's not because, you know, what they sell isn't great. It's because there's not enough people who know about them in the world. So that's sort of what I'm passionate about. I come in and I help them to design opt-in funnels using a quiz. So using the power of positive interactive marketing. So like none of this bro marketing, none of this sort of push the pain points. It's all about supporting the person on the other side of the screen who's looking at your quiz to, you know, just get to know you, get to know your business, understand more about themselves, because we're always super curious about ourselves. Anything to do with sort of self-exploration, generally as humans, we always love. So that's what I do. You know, I design kind of on-brand quizzes to build people's email lists. And there's loads of reasons why quizzes outperform normal opt-ins that I could kind of go into, but it's really just driven from a, you know, I've got a background in sort of strategy. I've been working with entrepreneurs for sort of about 15 years, probably. And the biggest challenge they all faced was always just not enough people like knowing about them in the world. So that's what I wanted to really focus on.
How long have you done that? And how'd you get into it? I mean, how long have quizzes even been around?
Yeah, I mean, quizzes have been around for, gosh, forever. I mean, I was taking Cosmo quizzes when I was, you know, whatever age, 15 or whatever. And that was a long time ago. So I've been doing quizzes myself for probably about 2 years. And before that, I was in sort of entrepreneurial strategy and sort of pure strategy for about 15 years in total. So it's been quite a while. Did a mixture of corporate at the very beginning, and then I switched over to charity. So I was working with young entrepreneurs to help them start their own businesses as a job. And then I kind of, I guess, sort of got infected by their passion and their like love of business. And yeah, just sort of left, not in the best way in terms of I left without a plan, which is terrible. But, you know, they always say builders have the worst houses, like strategists don't always have like the best business plans. So I left, started freelancing and then just built it from there, basically.
Yeah. Okay. So let me just ask you some other questions based on some things that I hear. Did you work in the corporate world?
I did.
Is that what you were
did.
Saying? You were corporate and then you, okay. What, yeah. As a strategist?
Yeah. So I did sort of a couple of years in like a really small consulting firm. And then I moved to Accenture, which I know you have in the US.
Oh, that sounds familiar. Yeah.
Yeah. So I worked with them and trained with them for about 20 months in like government strategy. So I was working with the UK government on various projects.
Oh, wow.
And Yeah, it was interesting, but just wasn't quite right for me. I wanted something a bit more creative and a bit more, I guess, interactive, which I, you know, is definitely what the charity sector was about.
Yeah. Okay. Have you ever taken the DISC assessment?
Yeah.
What are you? Are you an S?
You're going to ask me what I am. I can't. I've definitely taken it, but I've taken a lot of those.
Yeah.
The personality ones. I can't remember. That's the ENJ. Something like
that. Oh, well, no, that's the Myers-Briggs. Have you taken that one? You've probably taken all of them.
Yeah, then I might be confusing them. Yeah, so generally when I do those sort of ones, I come up as sort of a, what do they say, an extroverted introvert, quite analytical, but with like a creative streak, which is kind of what I guess quizzes are. And then the Enneagram, which is one that I really like. I'm a Enneagram 3, which is very like ambitious and driven. And sort of, that side.
That's super interesting. I had somebody on yesterday I was working with somebody yesterday and she was a 3. Uh-huh. And it's very interesting to me, the 3s that I've worked with. Mm-hmm. From a voice perspective, she did not vocally represent a 3. You do not vocally represent a 3.
Okay.
And it's not a bad thing. And I can break it down if you want, but I was just curious. The DISC popped into my head and I wondered if the DISC is the one that D is direct. They're very direct. They're very no nonsense, but it's irrelevant at this point. I want to know who your ideal client is. And maybe it's everybody. Maybe it's every entrepreneur. But who, if I were to ask you that question, who's your ideal client?
Yeah, I would say, and this sounds slightly like I'm sucking up, but I'm not. It's someone like you, essentially. So someone who has been in business for a little while. So like not really new entrepreneurs, because a quiz is like more, it's more involved. You've really got to know what it is you're selling and a lot about your audience. So it's generally sort of people who've been in business 1, 2, 3 years, who've got a more established business. They know what they're selling. They have an understanding of their brand, their style. It's gone through some iterations already. And they are usually at the point where they either have launched or they want to launch like a digital course or something a bit more en masse where they need more leads. So quizzes get you a lot of quantity leads as well as quality leads, but it's a big traffic driver. So
yeah. When you meet people that are your ideal clients or when you're, I think you do some videos. Do you do some videos? Have I seen you do Instagram reels?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not big on Instagram. I mean, I would like to get bigger on Instagram, but I do, I'm very happy doing videos and stuff. I do masterclasses, all sorts of different things.
Yeah. Okay. What is it that you want us to feel about you when we first meet you? Like I want people to feel like they've known me their whole life.
Yeah.
The second thing is that you can trust me. The third is that I know what I'm talking about. What do you want us to feel about you when we first meet you?
Yeah, that's a really good question. It's when I ask other people, I never realize how hard it is until someone asks me the question myself.
Isn't that funny? Isn't that funny?
Yeah, I would say I want them to feel, people often like describe me as very calm. So I want them to feel very safe. You know, the online world can be quite scary. It's hard to know what to do, where to turn. It can get a bit frantic. So I want them to feel very like I've arrived. I'm calm and it's, you know, they feel like they're in safe hands, which I think is something you said. I want them to feel kind of like energized and excited about the possibilities. So I want them to just feel kind of renewed in their business again, for sure. I think it's just a kind of a slight lightness and fun and joy. I want it to be an enjoyable process as well.
Okay. And, you know, I say this ad nauseum, there's no wrong. No wrong, even, and there's no bad here. I mean, in Voiceland, there's no bad. It's all for me about, what's the next level for you? Where is there a piece where I'm going, I think Helen could make more money, or I think Helen could have more internal freedom or whatever, based on the things that I hear. And I mean, there's so much good happening that sometimes I will say, I have to work a little harder. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. I like, in fact, that those are my favorite clients to work with, are the ones that are, they're really rock solid. And I have to find those super nuanced things, you know.
Yeah.
But there's one thing I keep circling back to. So let me ask some questions around things that I think I hear.
Sure.
The first one is, do you ever feel like you're playing a little smaller?
Yeah.
Like there's bigger, bolder things in you, but you temper it.
Yeah, I'd say that's, yeah, I think there's sort of two different sides of me. There's the like super ambitious, you know, I've got a vision for what I want to create. I really want to drive it forward. And then there's the other side of me that quite often kind of just gets bogged down in like having enough time to do all that. And yeah, can get a little bit hung up maybe in a little bit of indecision about like which, you know, all the different things I want to do and I want to focus on, like which is the one I want to do.
Okay, that answer is really interesting. And that answer double quadruple verified that you're an analytical, which you've already said that, and that's the first thing I wrote down was analytical thinker, a little bit of a check the boxes, get it done, no nonsense problem solver.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
My husband would 100% agree with that.
Yeah. Okay. So again, nothing bad. That's most of my people are no nonsense, outcome driven problem solvers. That is why they're successful. But I asked this question and you went to an analytical thought, and it could have been the way that I worded the question. And so I'm going to reword it. Do you ever feel like you're holding back your fullest expression? How you really feel, what you really want to reveal. And I don't want you to think about words. I want you to think about expression.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd say so, definitely. I think some of it comes from
UK, being UK, being British.
I wasn't going to say that, but that is, I would say that is probably true. Yeah, that is definitely true.
The British people, they always go, Tracy, you realize we're British. We don't do like y'all do.
It's a different, like, we definitely express things differently. I have a drier sense of humor. Yeah, definitely. So I think sometimes I hold back slightly because I know some of the things that I can say maybe don't translate as well in the US market, and I work a lot in the US market. Some of the kind of jokes or some of the ways that I express myself can like fall a little flat sometimes, or just like hit a bit of a bum note. For example, saying things like hitting a bum note is the very British thing. So, but I think some of it maybe also comes from having been in corporate and charity for a while, where there's definitely like things you can say and things that you really shouldn't say. It's just, you know, it's working in a job, you know, everyone has that really.
Oh yeah. That's all my professionals and every professional that sits on this show and everyone that I've ever worked with, there's this containment and I call it the professional mask. But you remind me a lot of a gal that I talk about all the time. Her name is Sherry and she's super fun and she was not showing up fun. She was showing up, let's get it done. I'm a professional. I've got your back. Which that was great. But as soon as she started rolling in fun, she doubled her income and tripled her prices and all this stuff. And people were literally messaging her going, if you're this fun, I have to work with you. And I think that there's this frivolity, this fun, this, like, I love that you said that as your third one, when I said, what do you want me to feel? I don't think it's coming through. And I think that's your vocal superpower.
Okay.
And so I want to break that down just a little bit, but that's not the primary thing I keep circling back to. We can play with that, but are you a peacekeeper?
Oh, yeah.
Big time, right? But yeah, got to keep everybody happy.
Yeah, I think I've changed recently. I hit 40. I had like, you know, you hit a few like special milestones and you take a bit of a look. So I'm less so, but it's a work in progress for sure. Yeah, I have been for the majority of my life.
Well, and the majority of my people are. I would say 8 or 9 out of 10 of them are. And what's interesting with you, and I said this in one of the interviews yesterday, mentally, I think what I'm dealing with to a degree is remnants. I do still think there's some peacekeeping, But there's some, even when people have completely eradicated something, like I'll say, are you a perfectionist? And people will say, I was. And I can hear that they've fixed that or adjusted that or worked through that, but it's still in their voice. And so there's remnants in your voice. And I think this really links to the reveal of the fun and the bits of you that I want that are being blocked by the analytical box checking. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Here we go. Yeah. I also think that people pleaser piece is blocking the level of ownership I want you to have. You are really good at what you do. Would you agree?
Yeah.
Yeah. And that was, was that even hard to go?
I am good at what I do.
Yeah.
There's always a part of me that wants to be better. I think that's just part of what I'm,
okay.
But yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I am good at what I do.
Yeah. And there's an ownership that you're buffering.
Okay.
And it could be, it is generally from peacekeeping, people pleasing, but it could be, I think you've got a voice story in your head around some of your stuff just doesn't land with us. And so I want to ask the question, it's not a trick question. Is that a perception based on reactions you've had in the past? You say a British phrase and we look at you like, huh? Or has somebody ever said, what are you even talking about? You're not funny.
Yeah, I haven't had people say I'm not funny. I've had people ask me like, what was that? What did you just say?
Yeah. Okay.
But not in, I don't think in like a negative way, as in just a, I want to understand you way. And I have people when I'm talking in like big groups in the US, I think maybe I preempt it because I know I've said something or I'm about to say something that I know is very British. And so I kind of preempt it. And it does always shock me actually, because people always say, oh, you know, I could just listen to you talk forever. Like, I just love your accent. And I don't see it. I think I have a very slightly monotonic voice, or just like a slightly, like US accents always sound very excited and very, you know, and they kind of infuse that in the people that are then listening. Whereas I think my accent, I'm not going to talk for all British accents, because obviously there's a whole host of them. I feel like my accent sometimes can be quite, I think that's where the calm comes in. People see it as calm, whereas I see it as like slightly dull, because it's my accent. Like, you know, I can't really do much about it.
Yeah, I'm going to challenge that a little bit. I think the calm is coming from, it is coming from your voice, but even with a fuller expression, that calm would still be there, because that's one of the core sounds of your voice. It's like when people will say, well, I don't want to sound arrogant, and they're worried about sounding arrogant. And I will say, that's not in your vocal makeup. And it isn't going to happen. I don't hear a remnant of that anywhere. So I would have to plug that in. And I think that calmness comes from an ease that comes from who you are. I think that's one of the authentic pieces about you. And I don't think that that is going away with a fuller expression, if that makes sense. I don't think that you're flat, but I don't think that you are. I think there's a safety thing. And I think that you're not consciously doing it. It is first coming from the no nonsense, get it done, check the boxes. And then the second piece that is keeping it reined in is the peacekeeping. Best not rock the boat. Now, the reason I asked about, has anybody ever said that to you, is because I think your subconscious has globbed onto that as an opportunity to keep you playing smaller.
Okay. Interesting. Like,
oh, well, they're not going to get it. Well, I mean, you could do that if you want, but that's going to be ridiculous. Well, I wouldn't play it that big, because that they're not going to think that's funny. And so what's happened is, it's like, have you ever seen a comedian that's not funny?
Yeah.
Okay. They're not funny because they're only going halfway in, because they're testing it. And if everybody laughs, then they'll go all in. And so I think there's something a little bit like that happening with you. I want you to go all in.
Okay.
And so when I talk about ownership, I don't want you to check in to see if you're getting it right. I think there's some checking in and mm-hmm. I wonder, has your subconscious got you believing certain things are actually what is making people feel at ease with you? Like what you just said, you know, I think that more monotone sound is what's making people at ease. I think you are putting people at ease. Does that make sense? Am I making any sense at all?
Yeah. So I've sort of made it not about who I am as a person to my core. I've made it about how I just show up and something that I could change if I alter something about. Is that right?
I think it's more about, I feel like you're playing safe with who you are.
Yeah.
Rather than going all in.
Mm-hmm.
But that makes me, I mean, I think you've got so many great things going on. I think there's a bigger version in you, a bigger version of ownership, a bigger version of being an expert.
Yeah.
And does that resonate?
Yeah. I mean, it's something I definitely love to do. And I know in previous jobs or in like when I show up in masterminds or when I'm in person networking, like people always, not always, but like quite often will say, similar, like, you know, you come across really well, or like, you mm-hmm. know, I'll talk to someone and then they invite me back to do something bigger. And
yeah.
And it baffles me.
Really?
Yeah, it does. It's sort of, yeah. It's to me, like, you know, I've worked with so many entrepreneurs over the years, and to me, like everyone is amazing. Like I could, you know, I feel, and they are, like, I feel like there's nothing different about me. So I feel like everyone's sort of, I don't know, the same. Does that make sense?
It makes sense. And what I hear in that is your subconscious trying to make you smaller.
Okay.
The other thing that I hear, and maybe it's peacekeeping, no, don't rock the boat. And I don't know if you felt that way in corporate. Don't rock the boat. Make sure you fit in. Make sure you say it the right way. Was that a lot?
Yeah, yeah, I mean, in corporate, it was very much, yeah, you have to act a certain way
yeah.
to get the roles, because it's, you know, just the way the company's set up, you know, you're sort of, it's a lot of networking, you know, you kind of get given work if you're liked, and, you know, it's, mm-hmm.
Yeah. So there's some remnants, and it could be from that, could be from before that, where you're doing a little bit of buffering, a little bit of checking in. So when I say ownership, it's that little bit of buffering and a little bit of checking in that is eradicating the power that I really want to hear from you.
Okay.
Because you are the expert. And so I want you to own that, no question. So when I talk about checking in, I'm talking about hearing things that instead of me saying, okay, this is what I hear. This mm-hmm. is what, these are the things that I hear happening. I hear a little bit of, this is what I hear. This is what's happening. A little bit of checking in, almost like you're making sure I'm with you.
Mm-hmm.
And I had somebody yesterday that was doing the same thing. And she was saying, I want to make sure that they're with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I want you to trust that we're with you. I don't know if that's anything you're thinking at all, but there's this level of ownership that checking in a little bit and using buffer words a little bit,
mm-hmm.
there's another level of ownership for you. It's like, you're not questioning it because you're the expert.
Mm-hmm.
Does that resonate?
It does. Yeah, it totally does. And it's funny, I've just been recording loads and loads of videos and going through the transcripts with my VA and sort of, you know, editing out the ums and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And it's funny mm-hmm. how many times I'll quite often state something, or I'll state a phrase, and then I'll put a few words at the end, which might say, uh-huh. well, you can take, don't take that as fact, you know, make up your own opinion type situation. So it's like, I tell you this thing, but then I take it back just a little bit.
That's
so
right.
That, yeah. Just in case.
Yeah, that's right. Just in case we don't like it. Just in case that rocks our boat.
Yeah.
And exactly. So, you know, I think that is probably the core thing. I want you to rock our boat.
Okay.
Because you're not going to. You know, I mean, we fear this. We fear this judgment, and online people in the online space really fear this judgment. And so then if we're a peacekeeper, we want to soften the edge a little bit, because there's tremendous fear around online hate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
I get it. I mean, you should read some of the emails I get. I mean, I am hated.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. There are, I mean, but it doesn't bother me. It doesn't faze me one bit. And I don't hold back because I've got full buy-in to what I believe in. And I think that you have full buy-in to what you believe in. Mm-hmm. I just need you to vocally have full buy-in, where you're not buffering with things like sort of, things like the adding on the extra words. But if you don't like that, that's okay. Mm-hmm. This is what I want. This is what it is. This is what I do. This is why it's powerful.
Mm-hmm.
The other question I have is, do you ever feel like we're not going to get it, what you're talking about?
I think if I do, it's only because I haven't explained it properly. Like, I don't feel like it's a difficult concept to get. And I think everyone that I'm talking to, you know, 100% can get it. I think it's maybe I just did it there, didn't I? I think it's, and now I'm hearing it.
And you don't have to. It's justification.
Yeah. It's because it's I'm still learning maybe how to vocalize it. I'm just using, you know, words, technical words that don't necessarily resonate as well.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's typical in the people pleaser peacekeeper bucket is justification and convincing.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's some of that buffering that you're doing. The other question I have for you, and I think I know what you're going to say, do you struggle at all with all eyes on you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. That's what's behind the speed. Sometimes you go fast and it's because you want to get on the other side of it, because we're looking at you and we're listening to you.
Mm-hmm.
So it's this catch 22. Yeah. You want to be heard, but then, oh my gosh, they're listening to me. I don't think it's conscious. I think it's subconsciously going down.
I think that the thing I don't mind being in trainings, you know, I love leading things like that, but I much prefer it when I'm asking people about them. And inquiring about them and their business and what drives them. And I like to ask the questions.
Yeah.
I find it hard to have the questions asked of me.
And you know what I think's behind that? I think it goes back to the same two things, trying to get it right, wanting to get it right, because you want to keep the peace, keep us happy, do what we're looking for or whatever. And all of it's a big rubber band ball. Anytime I have a peacekeeper, people pleaser, it's all this big rubber band ball. So I think the key thing, I'm just want to look at my notes here. I think really everything points back to not wanting to rock the boat. So the goal then becomes ownership and bottom lining it and pausing. I'm not even going to tell you to slow down. And I generally don't tell people to slow down, because that's not really the issue. It's about getting comfortable in the uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. It's about getting comfortable in, that's what I just said. Yeah, this is who I am. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's that. And that's going to allow for more of that fullest expression to come out, which is you've got movement in your voice, but that will bring in even more movement. And the ownership thing is really going to bring you even more credibility. I think a lot of times people are in the mindset of, well, I don't want to be overbearing, or I don't want them to feel like I'm telling them what to do. And I usually come in and go, actually, that's what they want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if you were going to tell us again about your work with quizzes, and you were going to explain it to us very bottom lined, Mm-hmm. This is what it is. This is how it works. This is why you need it.
Mm-hmm.
No justifying, no convincing. Do you believe in the quiz funnels? Do you believe they're?
Yeah. 100%. Okay,
see what you just did right there?
Mm-hmm.
That was owned.
Okay.
See, and if you, when this comes out, you're going to be able to hear the difference in the two.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So from that, what were you doing? You were working from passion and what you believe versus almost a reading the room kind of thing. How are they mm-hmm. liking this? Are they on board with this? Is this making sense to them?
Yeah.
Would you agree with that?
Yeah, definitely.
Because that was really good.
Okay.
And it was still all these things that you want, the ease, the laid back. That's just who you are. So that's okay. not going to go away. You mm-hmm. ramping up into your vocal power isn't going to take that away. No. It's mm. like you could, there's nothing I could do to take my intensity away. It's who mm. I am. I'm yeah. always going to be like this. I'm always going to be dramatic. There's no way I can't be. Now, I've got a lot of other shades and things that I play, but this is at the core who I am. Mm. That's at the core who you are. It ain't going anywhere.
Yeah.
So you don't have to.
You wouldn't have it any other way. You know, that's what makes you Tracy, you know, so.
Right. Totally. Totally. And so, and you are really this ease, and I could listen to you all day long, and that's just who you are. So we don't even have to work to plug that in. That would be like me plugging in intensity in myself. Then mm-hmm. I'd be like the ShamWow guy. I'd be, nobody could be in the room with me. I'd be like crazy. That's like ease. And I got your back with you. If we add more and more and more to that, when we already have it, it starts to water it down.
Yeah.
Okay. So I want you to tell me about quiz funnels again, and I want you to work from the passion and no justification. And this is what you've got to have in your business. Not doing it like I'm doing it right now, but doing it, Helen, in full ownership. And let's see what happens. Does that stress you out? Are you stressed out now?
Yeah, I'm a little stressed out. I'm trying to sort of unplug my elevator pitch out of my head. And
yeah,
sort of yeah, that I've been through so many times and so many different.
Well, and that can play into it too.
Yeah, yeah.
Definitely. You got it down. You got it memorized. You got the habit with it. I'm going to roll out the habit,
mm-hmm.
and yeah. just talk to me about. Let's say you know a quiz funnel would change my business.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to me about it. No, there's no getting it right. It's not elevator pitch format, whatever you want to say.
Okay. So I would say, do you struggle in your business to get enough people engaging with you and hearing your message?
Okay. Look what you did. You asked me a question.
Yeah.
And I want to hear from you. I want to hear you say, if you struggle to get leads in your business, this is what you need to do.
Okay. So I've seen the biggest struggle that entrepreneurs face is getting enough eyes on them and their business and the incredible things that they sell and how they can help people. And that frustrates me. And I know that people are just incredible at what they do, and I just want to support them to generate the right kind of leads. So we're talking, you know, buyers on your list rather than lurkers, through the power of a positive interactive quiz. So we're forgetting bro marketing tactics, we're forgetting pushing the pain points. This is about empowering people to join your list from a place of excitement and genuine curiosity to find out about you and your business. And they enter your community with that energy. And from that, you kickstart a much better relationship.
That was so good. Can you tell the difference in that?
Yeah, I definitely can.
And it's okay if you say no, because sometimes, like, there was a gal yesterday, she's like, no, I can't. Yeah. And I was like, that's okay.
I can tell the difference in how I felt saying yeah. it.
Okay, how did you feel different?
So I felt more energized and I felt more passionate about it. And I felt like I sort of let out a bit more emotion through my words and what I was saying. Yeah, and I don't feel like necessarily it was quite as cohesive as the first one, as in, let's say it in as short as many words as possible, and, you know, every word has meaning, etc. I felt like it was slightly more rambly, but I also felt it had more power behind it.
I would have to go back and listen to what you originally did, but I did not feel like you were rambling at all.
Okay.
I felt like it was way more owned. You didn't check in one time. You didn't buffer one time. You fully owned it. And there was so much more expression. And when we talk about expression, when I talk about, I think there is more expression in you, I'm not saying it from the place of, I want you to be in this fullest expression like me. You got to sound like me, Helen. No, what's the fullest expression of you? And there was a lot more of that. There was also in that one, I really felt like you cared about me.
Yeah.
I really felt your pain in my pain of in my own frustration of not being able to bring in quality leads. That is the epitome of the voice experience. Yeah. You revealed my story in your voice.
Wow.
Is that?
That's powerful. Yeah.
It's really
powerful.
And it's
true. You know, I hate seeing people quit their businesses. And everything that comes with that and the emotion and sort of what they make that mean in their lives purely because they don't have enough people, because it's a noisy online world and they've got lost in that noisy online world. And that I hate, you know, that's what I want to try and help prevent.
Yeah. And so by revealing those feelings, I mean, that didn't feel over the top to you, did it?
I mean, it felt fairly emotional. That's really? The Britishness in me. Like that
that's
felt
the Britishness.
Like,
yeah.
It didn't feel crazy. I'm not like, you know, wailing and, you know, taking all my clothes off and like, you know, just totally lost it, you know, whatever. But,
no, not at all. It's super subtle. I mean, it's not, you know how, and I don't know, and I never like to bucket people. I don't even think many Americans are as feely out there as I am, but I know we are more so than other cultures, even, you know, all across the board. That was not even in the realm of a typical American that might be a little bit over the top. It may, in fact, that I think is your litmus test. If it feels over the top, then you're nailing it.
Okay.
But that doesn't make it over the top. I wouldn't let you do it over the top because I don't want you to go out in the world and look bad. It does not serve me at all. But I think just that elevation, especially if you're dealing with American audiences, but it doesn't even matter. I don't even think it matters. Anybody that it's about
they
that.
Hear them. Yeah. They want to hear the emotion.
Sales is about emotional connection.
Yeah. Yeah.
100%. And when I hear my story in your voice, that's what subconsciously makes me go, yep, that's the one right there.
Yeah, interesting.
You know, because the analytical is there, the no nonsense, get it done, all of that's there. We don't even have to, we don't even want to lean into that because that's obvious. That's a given. And I don't think that's what people are looking for. You know, when I coached actors all the time, the casting directors would tell me one of the things that they were always looking for was who's going to be fun on set. The actors didn't know that, but that was something in the back of the casting director's mind. If this one is a problem and a nightmare, I mean, you know, unless you get into the big name stars, and some of them are nightmares, and that's allowed because they bring in a lot of money. But just typical regular stuff, it's like, okay, that one is complaining a lot. This one is really fun, and they're both equal.
Yeah.
And I think that's very true in the entrepreneurial space as well. If I have you and somebody else right next to you and your skill set's the same and the work is the same and the education is the same, then I'm going for the personality. Who resonates with me?
And I think we do that more in the entrepreneurial space as well. I feel like we make buying decisions from our gut instinct a lot more because we're making so many decisions day in, day out that you can't overanalyze every single decision. You have to just go with the gut on quite a few of them. Otherwise, you're stuck in analysis paralysis, aren't you?
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. And so the thing that I want to say is that you can be successful and do nothing that I tell you to do. Mm-hmm. This is, I'm talking about that next level. This is, I'm talking about that third of the buyers that aren't quite hearing what they need to hear, mm-hmm. that aren't going, yeah, that's the one. I want to scoop that third up.
Okay. So do I.
Okay. Well, that's how you do
Sounds
it.
Good. Yeah.
Done. All right. Well, was this helpful, Helen?
Yeah. Amazing. Thank you. It's so nice because obviously we've worked together before this and that was, I got like a real introduction to what you do, but I never experienced what right. you do. And I know when we've talked before, I've said it's always about you demonstrating what you do is the most powerful thing that you can do to attract people. So having it kind of like, I've been tracied, I've had it done to me, you know, I felt the power of what you do is what I'm trying to say. And I really appreciate
it. Wow.
And you've got definitely a superpower. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel really sometimes miffed and most of the time just beside myself that I can do what I can do.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, absolutely.
It's very cool. Well, Helen, it's been great to have you here with us today, and we'll check back in with you and see how you're doing at some point in the future and see if you're playing big with your voice, yeah. with that
Sounds
ownership.
Good. And I really appreciate it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thanks for coming on. And listeners, thank you as always for being here. It's another great episode.
Thanks for listening to Captivate the Room with Tracy Goodwin. You can reach out to her at CaptivateTheRoom.com and be sure to grab The Voice Formula, a free video series that will help you start making a bigger impact with your voice today. If you've enjoyed this episode, please leave a review on iTunes.